Thank you, Ms. Williams. Take your Bibles tonight as we try to finish up the book of Proverbs. We've been trying to do that for a while now. And you hear the laughs because I've just been in it since I've been the pastor. And to be honest with you, preacher helped me. I think he did at least the first 8 chapters before he turned it loose to me. Amen. And so we look to finish up, but a lot of good stuff to finish the book. Let me say that as we finish the first 9 verses of chapter 31. And we are going to begin the study of the virtuous woman. And I know that a lot of you ladies here tonight, many of these things, you may have some of these things that show forth in your life. But please don't take the study tonight that will make as something that if there's something that's not true about your life, that this is us saying something that... we expect that. The very first verse as we begin the study speak about how rare it is for a virtuous woman to have all of these different things in one place, if I could say it that way. Now, I want to say something else just before we start to study. Look at verse 10. It just says, who can find a virtuous woman? It asks the question. As it begins the very study of the virtuous woman and is going to lay out all the different qualities that can be found in her, we will find here that you realize how rare and how hard to find one it is. And then for her, price is far above rubies. And again, the idea here is not that this person is, it doesn't compare the virtuous woman to a gem like a diamond that has to be formed out of pressure, but one that it almost would be in a supernatural way is made by God, all right? And not some evolution theory. It's something that really just surrender to the hand of the Almighty and to His will and to His way. And all these things can be true in a woman's life. I just want you to make sure tonight that you see that these are all going to be things that we're teaching that we would love to see in the lives of a lady, but nothing that we're accusing someone or someone in the room is awful because they don't meet these things. The very first verse comes out of the gate very quickly, just trying to tell us that to have all these qualities bound up in one woman not only makes her virtuous, but makes her rare, a very rare gem to be found. And guys, as you go through the study, this is not to look across the auditorium and to see someone who doesn't fit the bill or someone for you to make fun of, but for many of you men that are not married and some of you guys in the college that don't have any hope, this is what you should be looking for. Okay? Amen? Amen. So as we begin to study tonight, we already read verse number 10. Let's look at verse number 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Here the verse is just trying to give us a one of the things that the virtuous woman is trustworthy. She is someone who her husband has no need to wonder where she's been or what she's been doing while he was gone, not only because she would go out and do something that was wrong, evil, but even in the sense of that she's been working. And it's going to be clear from the chapter that she's not someone who has idle hands with idle time. Let me just say this for all the ladies in the building and the men. Idle hands, as I was taught, is the devil's workshop. It just means that when we give idleness to ourselves and to our flesh, it is something that will never work out for good. So whether you're a man or a woman, but even for the ladies tonight, just to remember that idleness is not a good place for us. Doesn't mean that that it equals slothfulness. It just means that we open a door that we don't want to open. We want to keep ourselves. You say, well, what do you mean? You can't sit still at any moment? I have trouble with that. Okay? But it doesn't mean that even just being busy isn't necessarily being idle. Sometimes we can keep ourselves so busy running that we really don't do anything to get ahead, positive, or of eternal value. We can run and run and run and run and run. And sometimes some of the simplest things, and one of the things that God really wants every one of us to do, spend time in His Word, spend time in prayer, we see that as not as popular or powerful as maybe doing something that can be seen in front of men. When reading the Word, praying, walking with God is some of the best things we can do before we go out and do things that can be seen of men. They're all the things that need to happen behind the scenes. We see here that it talks about in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I realize, and you could put here, and at least for me in my notes, I put right there, helpmeet. When God created woman, he created her for the man, not the other way around. And so her focus and her purpose is always found in her man. Amen. You say, well, what happens when that man is no more? Then that purpose becomes God. Or another man. All right. I know that that seems funny, but again, I mean, according to the scripture, and we won't run the references tonight, but oftentimes we don't often think about that. But again, even for widows tonight, there are direct instructions with your age and who you are and what you should be doing. There's clear instructions from the Word of God, whether you've lost your husband, and so who is going to have that authority over me? That is clearly set forth in the Word of God. And it also clearly tells you what not to do, especially not being a busybody. And again, whether you think that's not being idle, I'm just telling you that is eating the bread of idleness. And spreading things or talking about things that are unseemly when you could spend a lot more time talking about how good God is. About all the things that God has done. And again, we see in verse 13 after we see that she's a helpmeet, and I know that it's not popular to preach this way in this day, that the woman was created for the man and that she should find her purpose there. I know that across the auditorium, people are having a hard time swallowing that tonight. Especially you may find yourself in a situation where you may have been a virtuous woman and the man was not virtuous and you have a hard time swallowing that. That doesn't mean in every relationship is perfect and where you are exactly tonight that man, but again, the God man, the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, if that man is putting that man first in his life, then you can definitely put the man that God gave you first in your life. And again, if not, then you're supposed to continue to put the Lord Jesus first in your life as a virtuous woman so that you might shine forth the glory of God, so that he might see God working through you, that he might change. You say, well, preacher, I have a hard time with that tonight. Again, I didn't say it was easy to do. I didn't say that everybody could do it. The Bible even says that these women are very rare. Because again, where we live tonight, she goes into the work ethic that she has. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. I think the key word in the verse is not just even working, but willingly. There are a lot of times that a lady or a virtuous woman will work, but sometimes it's not with a right spirit. And we all know that if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. If the spirit's not right in the home, and so even when we talk about work and all the things that we do, there needs to be a willing spirit, a willing participant in all these things. She gathers things with her hand. That's work. And then she works willingly at combining these things to make things that will profit the home and her family. Look on as she says in verse 14, she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. That means she doesn't just go down to Walmart. She passes by it and goes down to the farmer's market, right? So she doesn't have to hear that boop, boop, right? Or she drives past Walmart and goes to Sam's so she can get it in bulk, whatever it is. But she bringeth her food from afar. I think a lot of times when we think about this, it just means when I think about the virtuous woman, I think that she's thinking about her family. And sometimes, even in this life, and especially in the day and age that we live, sometimes it's not always easy to prepare something. You know, I mean, our generation has been built upon the TV dinner. Okay, and I think when it's talking about going, you know, this to me is just, when it talks about Jesus went a little farther away from his disciples to pray. And he prayed a little longer than they prayed. And every time we talk about that, I really think that sometimes it is when we're talking about someone virtuous, it means that she's willing to go the extra mile to make sure that what her family gets, we're not just talking about gourmet meal, but that she cares. It's not just something that's substance, but there's, if I could say it the way my mama said it, there's love on the plate. That she cared about what she set in front of them because it was something that she invested her time in for her family. And so I see here, not only she goes a little farther, in verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Here, it's just talking about, you know, the only way breakfast is going to get up before the husband is if the wife gets up before the husband and makes it. Now, I had a man that was real proud of his wife that I worked with, and I thought, man, what? I mean, he really was proud because he said, I don't get out of bed until I smell the bacon frying. And I said, well, bless your heart, you know. But he didn't really start till about 8 or 8:30 during the day, amen. And I was on a farming spurt at that time. And so, you know, I came in when they were asleep and I left when they were asleep. And so it's awful hard. So, you know, every one of us are going to look at this. And so does that mean my wife always has to get up before me? Every one of us in this life realize every one of us are on a different schedule. And you can't lay one of these things to heart and say, this has to happen just the way the Bible says. It says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I would just say, we could make it all about meals and waking up and making breakfast, but at least at my home, when somebody cried or there was a creak in the house, it was mama that got up and made sure that the one that was crying was taken care of. It's mama that made sure that the bumps and bruises or the aches in the night, she's the one that sat up and held them and rocked them to sleep even when they had fevers. And so you can take this verse and make it all about getting up way early in the morning. But for me, it's the virtuous woman that she takes the night watch and watches over the little ones and the sick ones and all those in the household. Look on as we see in verse number 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Here we see that this is kind of an ambitious woman. She's not just someone who wants to get by, but she has some dreams as well. See, sometimes when we think that, you know, she finds her pursuit in the man, you do realize when we take this, and sometimes people don't like us saying that because the man, it's easily seen in the scripture, the man came first and the woman was made from the man. But even Paul wrote later under the inspiration of God, don't get too cocky because then the man came from the woman. All right? I mean, that's in the scripture as well. But we have to also, this virtuous woman is a married woman. It's very clear her husband can trust her. So we see it's clearly speaking about a married woman. And when we talk about that, we have to realize that in everything, every marriage, communication is the key. Amen. I mean, it's the foundation of every relationship. We have to communicate. Even for our spiritual relationship, you realize that you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart to be saved. You say, well, I don't believe that. All right. What version of the Bible are you using? All right. And so again, here the scripture is just clear, but her ambitions here are not just something that when a husband and a wife come together, they become one flesh. It's not this idea of one ranking higher than the other, but there has to be a head. Anything with more than one head is a monster. The church has a head, the home has a head, and all those things are laid out clearly in the scripture. And so as we go forward, but it doesn't mean that the husband and the wife can't have plans, and they both can't have dreams that they want to see each other and help each other fulfill. Sometimes when we start thinking the man and we got to be the helpmeet and fulfill that, I have a wife, and one of the greatest things in my life, I want to know what she likes and what she needs and what she would like to do, and I have a desire to fulfill those things. And so in any right relationship, that is always going to be there. But here we see someone who has ambition enough to says, you know what, I've worked and I've got a little bit stowed up, and to make money with the money that I've already made, we could plant a vineyard. And this isn't a short-term investment. You do realize you don't plant a vineyard and grapes come off the next day. It's a long-term investment that she's making. She's making an investment of her time and cultivating the ground. Even for this, there's a little bit of transplanting in this. They have to decide what kind of grapes they want to grow together. Because not every grape is the same, folks. You know as well as I do, there's sweet ones and sour ones. And some of them got pits. Right? So think and equal that. When you think about a vineyard, think about all the endeavors that you could make as a couple and in your life, and how you ought to make some of those things together, but also deciding what we want to do together. Some couples maybe, instead of sweet, they'd like a little bit more sour. Amen. Sometimes, I don't know why they would want pits, but some of them do. And that is something I think when you talk about the virtuous woman, this is somebody, her husband is going to be later on in the chapter judging at the gate and doing things. And he has a position because they're a team, because they're one flesh. He can be there judging in the gate and be known of everybody in the city because there's somebody taking care of home and somebody's planting a vineyard and investing things that they grew and gathered together. And so we see all that throughout the chapter. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And you may write down, this is a workout. She's going to go to the gym. Now, I'm not telling a story that many of you may not know, but there was a staff member here that hurt themselves while I was on staff with them pumping weights. And I remember preachers saying to them, if I'm not giving you enough work to do, amen, that you got to go find a set of dumbbells and pump weights, then I can increase your workload. I don't need you going down to the gym and hurting yourself. There's plenty of work here to hurt yourself on. But we can laugh about that. And again, we do. You see that she does take care of her body. Folks, I just want to remind you, it's not something that here, when we talk about taking care of ourselves, this is what we get to serve God in. Whatever number of years that it lives, whatever, we need to strengthen it. We need to make sure we have the strength to go the distance. And we realize as much as anything, sometimes that is just this prayer of, Lord, strengthen this body. We live in a day and age, and let's just mark this down. So if you're going to get agitated with me, go on and turn your ears off for just a minute. The rest of you can tune in. But we live in a day and age where everybody has to have health care. So much so that the liberals told us we had to have it. Because we would rather trust Blue Cross and Blue Shield than God up above. And I realize the expense of everything in the day and age we live. But I still serve a God that sits on the throne in heaven. And I've lived through the decades of time where men of God and women of God who didn't have it, when it came time, if they trusted the one who did, He always made sure they had it. Now, you may not like it. You may think that is irresponsible. But I just think it's faith. Now, you can have faith in the insurance company that pays 80%, but I serve a God that'll pay 100%. Amen and amen. Now, you can tune back in if you didn't like the rest of it. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. I see that perceiveth there. That means she is a discerning woman. The word perceiveth means to know and to understand, to observe. Do you know many times we run headlong into things and we don't step back and look or study to know, to understand what we're getting ourselves into, or even to observe what others have done? That's a dangerous thing to do. Do you know, even parenting, it's good to know some things from the Word of God about parenting. It's good to understand that your children are children and what the Bible says about them. Do you know, we would like to think that our children are perfect and that they don't have a sin nature. But the Bible says to spare the rod is to spoil the child. Now that goes against our human nature. We want to think every one of them are born with a little flame and we fan it and they'll blossom, right? They did all were born with a little flame and it was a devil flame. And if you fan that in the wrong way, it will explode into a dumpster fire that you will never be able to put out until they put them in jail. That is the way of the world. Just let them go. They'll make it on their own. No, the Bible says to spare the rod is to spoil the child. Everybody, even people that work as employers, that employ other people, you have to correct people. That's not how I want it done. You have to tell them what they did wrong and how to do it right. It's the same way with your children. You say, well, I'm not employing my children. If you worked on a farm, you would have. You know why families had big families and nowadays we don't worry about it? Because on the farm, everybody worked together for the family's good. And nowadays, honestly, you see a family with about five kids and you think that's a gigantic family. And we live in a day where, again, a lot of times it's me, me, me. Why would I want to have to raise that many kids? Why would I have to pay for that many college? Well, because the Bible says to be fruitful and multiply. Because the Bible says, we say we couldn't have that many. Well, that's okay. Your quiver was full wherever you hit the mark at. But we live in a day and age where we want to control everything because we're the most important person in our lives, not the one that gave the commands, not the one that we're serving, following, and will be with for eternity. All too many times, we skip by some of the things, and she perceived that her merchandise was good. Do you know, if we're not careful, we would perceive in this verse that that's pride, but that's not what's happening here. This person is a virtuous woman. She realized, you know, when you do a good job, you can take that to heart. When you build something and you're a builder and everything is square, you take pride in that. If you're a lady and you baked a cake or a bunch of cookies and they taste good, you take pride in that. There's nothing wrong with realizing at the end of something that you didn't forget to put the sugar in and the cookies taste awful. There's nothing wrong with saying, the cookies are good, bless God. My merchandise is good. You say, preacher, I think you're going, listen, she says her candle goeth not out by night. Now, everybody might like the first part that she perceives her merchandise is good, but it also says that she's willing to burn her candle at both ends if it's needed to be done. And you say, well, preacher, I thought you said she's supposed to take care of herself. It's all in the same book and it's all in the same chapter. There are times in this life that to get the things done that you need to do for you, your family, and for the good of your church, ministry, and things, you're going to have to burn the candle at both ends. There's a better rest prepared for the saints. And if you're not careful, you'll get soured when you have to work, when you have to put in the time, when you feel the testing or you're being tried. But we have a master that knows the clay. And he keeps the speed just for what you need at the time you need it. He molds and shapes us to be really what he wants. And even in this chapter, if you can picture it, he's making a masterpiece of a virtuous woman. And it doesn't happen with just simple ease. It happens with burning the candle at both ends and strengthening her arms and her hands. And all this stuff is seen like work to me. And we live in a decade where work is a four-letter dirty word. But it's not. It's something that was made for man and for the woman to be his helpmeet long before sin ever entered into the world. God gave us work. We don't feel complete or fulfilled unless we not only work, but we perceive that our merchandise is good. Amen and amen. He goes on and says, she layeth her hands in verse 19. To the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And if you know anything about a spindle, and again, she's working on an old-fashioned spindle wheel, trying to make something. And so it's not that spindle wheel is much picturing that the potter and the clay, but there's two hands at work. And I don't know how many of you, to me, I've seen my grandmother work this. I've never done that myself. That's because I'm a man. I did man things. So I'll liken this. When we're talking about two hands and one really not, you're not being able to see. If you've ever transplanted any plants that you're going to grow, like sweet potatoes, anything like that, and you got to do that in bulk, both hands have to be at work. And sometimes your brain is having to not really see one of them. If you've ever grabbed, and I don't know, the one I did was a two row, so four of us were sitting on. We were hitting every other. Some of you I'm speaking science to, and you don't understand what I'm talking about. But if you ever been on a planter where you got to hit every one of those jokers coming by, and only the ones that have been there for years, usually it's two-seater because it takes two people to hit them. But I've been with some virtuous ladies that have been in that thing a long time, and it bugged me as a teenage boy when I watched grandmom sitting over there, and she'd been planting sweet potatoes all her life, and she'd hit every one, and every one were turned where the roots were going in the ground, and I'm hitting every other one with the roots sticking up, and I'm going as hard as I can go, and I can't keep up with grandmom. But grandmom had a lot more experience than I had. And you know, it wasn't until I swallowed my own pride and told grandmom, hey, how you do that? And it wasn't that she was outworking me, she was outsmarting me. She had everything prepared before we started to row. And I was getting started once we was in the row. Hey, folks, you know, you can go to a virtuous lady and they can teach you some things. You know, you young ladies, if you really desire to be a virtuous woman, then you'd hang out with virtuous women. If you wanted to learn how to work, then you'd find somebody that you can see there's work in them. And they know how to burn the candle at both ends, and they do it willingly. They don't have a bad attitude about it. That's the people I'd hang out with. That's who I'd put myself around, because you can learn some things if you perceive the people, that person has got the right spirit, or the way we used to say it where I was from is that person's got the goods. And that's the person I need to learn from. Look on as we go on through the scripture. We got to close here. We won't finish the chapter tonight, but we'll pick up here. In verse 20, she says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. You know, even after she's taken care of her household and she's got some outside ventures that she's working on and she's taken care of all these other things, she doesn't just have a right attitude with those of her own household, but people outside of the house. The poor and needy knows whose house to stop by, not just because they smell good things coming from the kitchen, but because their spirit is sweet. And when they stop by, the poor and needy get fed too. You say, well, what about this, preacher? What do you mean? Well, we're in the middle of a go fishing campaign. And I'm just going to be as honest as I can be tonight and just as open as I can be. You could feed every belly from here to Alabama, but if you never filled anybody's spirit by giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've sadly, sadly not fulfilled everything that God wants you to be in this life. And you could be the best chef, the best cook there ever was, and feed every poor and needy soul that come by. But many poor and needy souls, listen, folks, we send missionaries around the world not to feed the world, but to feed them spiritually, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why should it be any different at home? Wouldn't it be a shame if we brought people from all over town and fed them fish for a fish fry Sunday and had a big day and put the number on the back wall, but no one ever shared the gospel with them? What a brokenhearted shame it would be. And some ladies will come here and put their expertise into dropping fish in oil, and they'll have spent their day. But you know when they'll get the real joy? Not when people are fork to face, but when they hear how many people got saved because they dropped fish in oil. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, going fishing, a virtuous woman will feed the poor, needy soul. You know, you say, preacher, what about those of her own household? Boy, I know at least my mama. She not only taught me wrong and right, you know. She taught me not just the right and the wrong of everything, but she told me how I could go to heaven. She took me to church on a regular basis. I've gone a lot of places with mama. I've learned a lot of things from mama. And I can say at the end of the day, boy, what a difference a virtuous woman makes in the lives of her husband and her children. We haven't got to the back end of the chapter yet, but at the end of all this that's being said, not only her children, but her husband rise up and call her blessed. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, what a noble endeavor to see what the scripture says about the virtuous woman and pursue it with your life. Husbands, you say, well, preacher, what do I do? Do you know the same book? We talked about that before we ever got started, and we got to close. But men, if you want to know, the Bible doesn't have a chapter on the virtuous man. It has chapters and chapters and chapters on the virtuous man. Amen. Let's pray together tonight. Dear Lord, we come to you and we thank you for your study of your word. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. I know that, Lord, we didn't preach a soul-winning message tonight, but Lord, if there is one that came into our midst tonight that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray that they'd come down and just take my hand and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I need to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I pray that they'd do that tonight. Lord, I pray for all those in Bible Club, Lord, if there was a soul that got saved over there, Lord, that you'd not only save them, but Lord, that you'd help them be edified and grow in your church. Lord, I thank you for all that was started tonight. But again, Lord, my heart is broken for the Whistler family. I pray for them specifically. Lord, I know that the trying time that they have been through, Lord, and they will continue to grieve. And I pray for them. And I ask you, Lord, help them to not sorrow as others that have no hope, because we know where Mark is. Lord, I pray you just bless their family. Help them tonight. Help all these families as they go separate ways into school tomorrow. Bless them, Lord. Get them home safely and bring them back to us at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.